Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Naked photos? Erectile dysfunction? What else could it be beside Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard? You thought it was over, didn't you? Well, they're back. It never seems to end with these two. Couldn't they just leave after dragging the country through their weeks-long trial? Apparently not. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and Sirius XM 111. It's Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard, round three. Take a listen to this.
Johnny wanted to introduce nude photos of Amber into evidence. The actress's lawyers clapped back and called the move inappropriate and irrelevant. They doubled down by saying Amber's nude images, as well as her past as an exotic dancer, happened years before she met the pirate star.
A March 22nd motion outlined Heard's opposition to Depp's team's attempts to present damaging information about her past to the jury. Heard's lawyers argued that Depp was trying to introduce irrelevant personal matters, including Amber's brief stint as an exotic dancer years before she met Mr. Depp, nude pictures of her, and quote-unquote unfounded allegations that she worked as a sex worker. Her attorney said nude pictures of Amber Heard or comments about stripping or escort services would be highly distracting and unfairly prejudicial to the extent they portray Amber Heard as a sex symbol instead of a women's rights activist against domestic abuse.
Oh, I bet they did. I bet they screamed that from the top of the hills. You were just hearing our friends at Entertainment Tonight and CrimeOnline.com. Okay, let me understand this. I've got an incredible panel to make sense of what we know right now. But first, I want to go to senior reporter at Fox News Digital, author of At Any Cost, Rebecca Rosenberg. And you can find her at RebeccaRosenberg.com. Rebecca, naked photos? Erectile dysfunction. Can we just first start with the naked photos and the exotic dancer claims? What in my world that means stripper? What does that mean to you? Is this true?
Yes. So they didn't really provide any details about what these new photos were. They were just, they said nude photos. We don't know what was in them, but the judge.
Okay, right, Rebecca Rosenberg. Rebecca.
Yes.
What more do I need to know? Nude photos. Okay, in case everybody on this panel, especially you, Daryl Cohen, just let me tell you right now, don't let anybody take naked photos of you or semi-naked photos of you. Okay, nothing good is going to come from that, right? Just the other day, the twins were in the backseat of the car, and I heard one of them say, nudie shot. I went, well, I had to pull off the side of the road. Apparently, a little girl, and this wasn't this year, Jackie, they're 14 now. This was several years ago. Had taken photos of herself and sent them. And of course, you know, when this poor girl goes to college, somebody will say, hey, isn't that the little girl that sent around naked shots in like the sixth grade? There. Do I, bottom line, Rebecca Rosenberg, what more do I need to know? Naked photos. Are they real? They must be if Amber Heard's team didn't argue, that's not true, that doesn't exist. Instead, argued, we don't want those in because it would wrongly portray her. That tells me they do exist.
And they, you know, in the newly unsealed court papers, they were the ones who essentially disclosed and confirmed that she had been an exotic dancer, which is kind of interesting, too.
Okay, yeah, my next point. What do you mean by exotic dancer?
It's a nice way of saying stripper. It's a stripper.
You know, Rebecca, I think you're awesome. You sound a little bit like I did the week before I started trying jury trials, where I had to say the F word, the P word, the C word, the this word, the that word, the everything word, because the way you kind of like paused before you said, I'm stripper. Daryl Cohen, I think you and I, not together, I'd like to point out, have been in every hellhole and strip joint in the city of Atlanta looking for witnesses. Every crack house, every, let me just say nicely, brothel, every flop house, strip clubs, you name it. Because, you know, if you're trying to put, let's just say, a drug lord behind bars, you're not going to the monastery. The witnesses are not going to be nuns and priests and virgins. They're going to be strippers and other dope dealers and other dope addicts. And we, prosecutors, have to find them. So, you know, it took me a couple of days before I got used to the idea that that was my new life when I first started prosecuting. But it didn't take long before those words just tripped off my tongue.
Yep, you got it, Nancy. We've been everywhere.
Sadly.
I feel like the country song. We've been everywhere.
And I remembered why you and your cohorts in the DA's office laughed when you saw me coming. I was green right off the turnip truck. Rebecca Rosenberg, okay, can we get off Daryl Cohen's interpretation of exotic dancer? Why did Depp's team want to bring that in to start with? What did that have to do with anything at trial?
Well, it wasn't allowed in, I think, because it didn't have anything to do with the trial. I think that their goal was just to smear her name. And the judge said it can't come in. It's not relevant at all.
Maybe it was partially to do with their claim that she would do anything for money. But no, I agree with the judge. Totally irrelevant. But before we lay all the blame on Johnny Depp's team for smearing the other party, take a listen to this.
The docs reveal Amber's team tried suggesting Johnny was taking erectile dysfunction medication, specifically submitting into evidence prescriptions for Nexium, Cialis, and Valtrex, implying it may be the motivation behind his alleged abuse. But Johnny's lawyers called BS and said it was just a tactic for Amber to embarrass him in court.
Amber Heard's legal team wanted to bring up Johnny Depp's alleged erectile dysfunction to add context to the actress's allegation of sexual violence. In these newly unsealed pretrial documents, the 36-year-old actress's lawyers argued in a March filing that 59-year-old Depp should disclose that he allegedly suffers from erectile dysfunction by submitting a supposed list of medications as evidence. They suggested the medical condition is relevant since it could explain why he would use a bottle to sexually assault her, which, by the way, he categorically denied ever happening.
Okay, I'm just letting all that soak in. Okay, Rebecca Rosenberg, back to you. Just while we were pounding on Johnny Depp for trying to bring in Amber Heard's nude photos and her past as an exotic dancer, now we find out she wants to bring in the fact that Johnny Depp used, what, Viagra?
Cialis. Same thing.
Oh, sorry. All right. Cialis. Now, she's claiming, Daryl Cohen, her team claimed that the introducing his erectile dysfunction drugs was relevant. That's total BS. They wanted to embarrass him in front of the jury.
They're trying to embarrass her. They're trying to embarrass him. They embarrass each other. And they are fun to watch as they claw and fight at each other and see what in the world they can do.
And you know what? This is so true. Let me go back to Paul Zeig joining us, former police commander in Albuquerque and specialist in domestic violence, author of Stop Him From Killing Them on Amazon Kindle. Paul Zeig, you know, I feel like we've seen it all, but of course, just when I say that, some other crazy thing happens. But these are facts that jurors never see. Thank heaven. It's really pulling the curtain back from the cesspool that is very often a jury trial. And that is why we have rules of evidence. Evidence that protects both sides and, more important, protects a true verdict. You don't want a jury making a decision based on irrelevant evidence that is brought in to embarrass or smear the other side. And neither party has clean hands in this. They both are caught red-handed trying to make the other look horrible. But that is not uncommon, especially in domestic cases. It seems like the level of hatred is heightened whenever there is a domestic case. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. In my more than decade being focused on domestic violence and domestic cases, even stalking cases, I find that exactly to be true. There's something that just clicks in someone's head. Anytime that you're dealing with a relationship that's gone bad, everything's more powerful. The crimes that are committed, the allegations that are made, it's it's one of the meanest, most volatile situations, which makes it one of the more dangerous things that law enforcement responds to or that people can be involved in. And it all focuses and centers on control. And that's what, domestic violence is. It's all about controlling and putting the other one lower. And they made a great case to put each other lower.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Paul Zeick, everyone joining me, former police commander in Albuquerque and author. Paul, you just said it. I've told this story before, but one of my best friend girls is, believe it or not, a defense attorney, but she works solely in drugs. And, of course, I'm not proud of that for her, but she says she'd rather try a dope lord than get involved in a divorce or a domestic, because, her words, not mine, those people will drive by your house and shoot into your living room and kill you, the lawyer, because you somehow are part of the whole thing. The level of hatred and animosity is so heightened when it comes to these matters. And Karen Stark joining me, renowned New York psychologist, joining us from Manhattan. And you can find her at KarenStark.com. And that's Karen with a C. Of course, she has to be different. Karen, you know, when we think about Lady Justice, or at least I do, I think of her as pristine, uncompromised, powerful, and fair to all. She's wearing a blindfold so she cannot differentiate between gender or position in society or race or background. None of that matters to Lady Justice. In one hand, she holds the scales to weigh the issue. And in the other hand, she holds a sword to mete out justice. That's all well and good. But the reality is that jury trials are messy, and you find out a lot about every witness and every party, a lot more than you wanted to find out. Remember all the cases that you and I sat through in those darkened studios at Court TV? It'd just be Karen and I on the set, literally for hours, because remember, Karen, our shifts then were like 4 hours at a time. We would watch the trial, and we would hear everything that the jury didn't hear. We would hear all the motions that were held outside the jury's presence, all the things about the parties that were ultimately and very wisely ruled out. It's a cesspool. There's really no other way to put it.
I agree with you, Nancy. And sometimes what's interesting to me is how the lawyers are able to fight and make some things be admitted and some things don't. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but in this case, it's confusing to me what they allowed and what they, I mean, nude pictures. Why would anybody think that that relates to this case? I can't see how that fits in.
Yeah, that or erectile dysfunction meds.
I was just going to say erectile dysfunction.
But I see in their twisted thinking why that would be relevant in their minds. Thank heaven it did not come into evidence or would have a reversal on those grounds. Everybody on the panel, again, let me remind you, we're not having tea with the Queen at Highgrove, all right? Jump in. This ain't no tea party, people. I could see what they were doing. Depp was arguing the exotic dancer stint and the nude photos should come in to prove that Amber Heard would basically do anything for money. I don't think it does prove that. But that said, I can see Amber Heard claiming that Johnny Depp, that the erectile dysfunction medication should come in to show his frustration because of, I guess, his failure to perform the way he wanted. I mean, I don't know a nice way to put that. Also, we don't know if any of these allegations are even true. It's a lot of mudslinging. But thankfully, do you agree or disagree, Daryl Cohen? While it would have made great entertainment for people, it would have been a horrible, horrible decision if the judge had allowed it in. We'd be looking at a reversal right now.
Oh, Nancy, I think the judge should have allowed it in.
Oh, dear Lord in heaven. That's why you were never in the appellate division, Daryl Cohen,
never.
For statements just like that.
Defend me. Oh, my gosh,
I got to be in the appellate division and sit around that conference table and talk about the law while you were out sweating it out on the streets trying to find witnesses. Then I got thrown in a courtroom and everything changed. So, yeah.
Look, Yogi Berra once said, it ain't over till it's over. This ain't never going to be over because they love it. It's helping both of them. They're going to sell tickets at films that they're going to be part of. It is just the most wonderful thing, and nobody's going to prison.
You know, you have the Barnum Bailey approach to PR. I don't care what you say about me. Just talk about me. Okay, that's not
I got to jump in here because... Amber Heard has been destroyed. I don't think she's ever going to get a movie role again. Like, I don't think in any way this publicity has helped her in the slightest. Like, her reputation is in tatters. She is considered totally toxic now.
I think she will. And I just want to say these two words, Roman Polanski. Hollywood begs to have him back. He's a child rapist. Hello.
Yeah,
and he has a huge career overseas. I think time will pass. And then, thank you, Jackie. She's right. He's a male. So that does seem to make a difference. I mean, look at Robert Blake. Is it not clear to everybody he murdered Bonnie Bakley, except the jury? And, you know, he's still around. Rebecca, sorry, I got off on a tangent regarding Roman Polanski. Go ahead. Rebecca Rosenberg joining us, senior reporter, Fox News Digital, and author of At Any Cost. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I want to say one thing about the erectile dysfunction issue. I mean, don't get mad at me, anyone, for this comment, but the guy is in his 50s and admitted very heavy drinker and drug user. Wouldn't it be kind of shocking if he weren't taking Cialis or on some sort of drug for impotence?
Okay, what about it, Daryl Cohen?
I would be stunned if he's not doing everything. I just don't think this is hurting him. I think he's set up such an aura of, I'm a bad guy, but I admit I'm a bad guy. So therefore, he's a good guy. And people want to see him in the box. And the same with Amber. I don't think she's destroyed at all. I think Amber is going to come on bigger and better. And this is what they're doing to each other. And actually, they're doing it for each other. It ain't over till it's over.
Guys, it's not just... Go ahead. Jump in.
Yeah, so just one point. Yeah, you're right about the roles. It's all about the money. Johnny's already signed a new deal for his post-trial career, and I have no doubt she will as well. You see that in professional sports. I mean, it's about the money and who can perform and do what they need to do and who's going to make the money. But on the back to the DV front of this whole thing, domestic violence, you know, they're looking to put a primary or predominant aggressor on the other person. All these allegations, all these things that are being said is to really shape the public's view of who is the worst between the two. And the more stuff they throw out, hopefully the other party's thinking, well, they'll look at this other person as the one that's really the problem, but they're both a problem, but that other person's more of a problem than me.
Well, you know what's interesting, Paul Zeit, is that everybody, and you don't have to blurt it out, okay? Don't, please. Especially you, Daryl. Think of the worst thing you've ever done and then have that paraded in front of a jury. And then the second worst and the third worst. Because that's, I think, what was happening here. Thankfully, the judge ruled a lot of it out. But it's not just about claims of nude photos and erectile dysfunction. What about actual facts that matter? Take a listen to our friends at crimeonline.com.
Included in the documents was a deposition with Jennifer Howell. Howell is Amber Heard's sister, Whitney Henriquez, former friend and boss. The documents say Howell was told by Amber Heard's sister that the Aquaman actress did sever Johnny Depp's finger when she hurled a vodka bottle at him. Howell recalled when Amber Heard's sister screamed in the office, she cut off his expletive finger. Speaking with Depp's attorney, Camille Vasquez, Howell recounted sitting at her desk when Heard's sister said again, she cut off his finger, she cut off his finger, I've got to call somebody, and bolted from the room. When pressed on who the she and he were, Howell responded, it was Amber and Johnny.
Ouch, she cut off his effing finger. Okay, straight out to Rebecca Rosenberg, senior reporter, Fox News Digital. So now we have Amber Heard's sister on an earlier occasion stating that Amber Heard, quote, cut off Depp's effing finger.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty damning. And that didn't make it into the trial. Heard got on the stand, denied that she had any role. And they put on experts saying it wasn't possible that she could have thrown a vodka bottle at him that smashed on his finger and sliced it off. So that was a pretty explosive bit of information that came out in these court papers.
As a matter of fact, Rebecca Rosenberg, that was a major contention at trial that she cut off Johnny Depp's finger. And she, Amber Heard, insisted, no, he did that to himself. But now we have her own sister stating that Amber Heard cut off Depp's finger. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't understand why that deposition did not come into evidence. I assume you're going to tell me it was hearsay?
Yeah, that's my understanding, that it was hearsay, and that's why the judge didn't allow it in, and the sister denied it.
Okay, but it's not just proof that Amber Heard is actually the one that cut off Johnny Depp's finger, so I guess the jury got it right. There's more. So there you see her own sister allegedly, unwittingly ratting her out, but then Johnny Depp's own assistant seemingly does the same thing. Listen.
According to text messages in the unsealed documents, Johnny Depp's assistant admitted that the Hollywood star allegedly kicked Amber Heard in the head. Those text messages were excluded from the former couple's defamation trial. Depp's then assistant, Stephen Deuters, detailed what happened on board a private jet. Deuters texted Heard saying, "I remember them in full detail, everything that happened. He was appalled. When I told him that he kicked you, he cried." According to the unsealed documents, Depp texted Heard about the incident saying, quote, "he would never do it again, and that his illness crept up and grabbed me. I feel so bad for letting you down," unquote. In other messages that Heard kept, Depp again apologized, calling himself an effing savage and a lunatic. The text messages related to this incident were presented at the couple's trial in the UK, but were deemed inadmissible by the judge in the Virginia case.
Both of these points of evidence were excluded at trial, and both of them are really damning. The fact that Amber Heard's sister said she cut off Depp's finger. The fact that Depp's assistant described an incident where Depp had kicked Heard in the head. It only makes me wonder what else was left out of evidence before the jury. Rebecca Rosenberg, what do we know?
Yeah, I'm really confused why the assistant's text corroborating Amber Heard's claim that she was abused on this plane. I don't really understand legally how that wouldn't be allowed in. Amber Heard testified about the incident. These text messages corroborated her testimony. And Johnny Depp got on the stand and denied he ever touched her, including on this plane. So to me, I wonder if that could be part of the grounds for appeal, because it's such a significant piece of evidence.
What about the assistant? Did the assistant testify, Rebecca?
You know what? His wife testified. I don't think he did.
I don't think the assistant did either, Rebecca, and that would be the reason, if that's true, that would be the reason the texts were not allowed in, because it's hearsay. You'd have to bring him on to ask him about the texts. Now, I guarantee you there's a reason they did not bring him on. Neither side thought it was worth what would happen on cross-exam. Because a lot of times you have a witness that could help your case, but the damage would be far too extensive to bring that witness on. Okay, that's not all. In recent developments in Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard, we understand while there was a flicker of a moment that many illegal eagles thought Depp would forgive the debt this jury imposed on Amber Heard, seemingly not so. Amber Heard has had to sell her home. Listen.
Amber just made a sweet profit, a sale of her secluded home.
I live in Yucca Valley, California.
Amber bought this home near Joshua Tree for $570,000 and recently sold it for over $1 million, earning her almost $500,000.
The Yucca Valley home that was long rumored to belong to Amber Heard and now confirmed was recently sold for $1,050,000, according to Zillow Property Records. The house was purchased in 2019 through an anonymous trust that reportedly has ties to Amber Heard for just over $570,000. With the parcel having changed hands, Amber walks away with almost double what she paid for it just 3 years ago, a profit of about $480,000. She bought it pre-pandemic, and since then, property values have mostly gone up.
You were just hearing our friends at Entertainment Tonight and CrimeOnline.com. Rebecca Rosenberg from Fox Digital, so she has had to sell her home near Joshua Tree. She made about $500,000 profit, but two questions. One, how much is the order against her? This is like a drop in the bucket. And number two, is this her only home? Doesn't she have a place in LA as well?
I think this is actually her only home. I don't think she has any other property. And I think part of the reason she sold it was because it was no longer private. During the trial, the address became public, and she couldn't like deal with all these people showing up at her door. But the judgment against her is the net judgment is $8.35 million, right? So the jury gave Depp $10.35 million, but they also gave her $2 million in a countersuit. So yeah, she owes him a huge chunk of change, but she's going to fight that for as long as she can.
That's right. I mean, a loser at trial or a defendant at trial in a criminal case, their biggest friend, Daryl Cohen, is delay, delay, delay. The longer you can appeal it, the longer you can put off that trial, the better off you are. That's the general wisdom. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. The longer she puts it off, the more likely there is that the public's going to move on, the more likely the possibility of settling it, the more likely she will get a great role or 10 or 20, and it won't be cinnamon, and she'll make a ton of money where she can ultimately pay him if the appeals don't pan out her way.
And speaking of appeals, there was, as I said, a flickering of a moment where it was discussed, kicked around, pitched, that Depp would forgive her of the debt she now owes him, about $8 million. Well, that went straight up in smoke after this. Take a listen to our friends at Newsy.
Amber Heard's lawyers have now asked a judge to throw out the $10 million verdict against her in that now infamous defamation case against her ex-husband, Johnny Depp.
Her lawyers argue the verdict was not supported by evidence and that one of the jurors may not have been properly vetted. In a filing, her lawyers asked for the verdict to be dismissed or a new trial be ordered. The judge had reduced the compensatory damages to $350,000 under a state cap.
So Amber Heard's notice of appeal put the kibosh on any consideration of forgiving her debt, letting her out of that $8 million price tag the jury handed down. And then it was just a matter of time. Take a listen to our friend Gail King at CBS.
Yeah, we've heard that it's not about the money. It's time for healing and time to move on, which was the message that he sent. But how do you heal and move on when both sides are still in court arguing?
It's pretty standard legal procedure. We just are hopeful that the court will uphold the verdict, which we think was the right verdict, and allow both parties to move on.
So is it safe to say that if she hadn't appealed, you all would not have appealed either? You would have moved on?
Yes.
Is that a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement.
You're hearing Gail King speaking with Depp's lawyer, Camille Vasquez. You know, Karen Starr, it seems like a scorched earth policy. Karen Starr, New York psychologist, joining us out of Manhattan. It seems as if after the trial, Depp was this close to forgiving her of the debt. And when I say forgive, that's a technical legal term. It's not like, oh, I forgive you for what you said or what you did. To forgive a debt means you nullify it. I think he was close to doing that, if nothing but for PR purposes. But then as soon as she filed this appeal, that was out the window, Karen Stark.
Yeah, I don't see her letting go. The two of them just in their own way keep it going. They're both very engaged in this, Nancy. I think he was, but this reminds me of the fact that she could have gotten lots and millions of dollars from him when they were getting divorced. And she, on principle, said that she wasn't doing this for the money and didn't accept it, even though her lawyers kept pushing her. So it's just revenge and anger that's going back and forth between the two of them. And I don't see it ending anytime soon.
You know what? A shrink told our panel the other day, Karen Stark, that when two people, especially in domestic argument, are engaged in an argument, the last thing they want is for the other one to leave. They don't want it to be over. Wait, is this Paul's eye jumping in?
Yeah, it's Paul.
Karen, you go first, and then we'll circle back to Paul. Go ahead, Karen. It's like a fire with no oxygen. You just have to keep feeding on it.
Well, you see that's the exact thing that's happening here, Nancy, that they are really so engaged with each other. It's a different kind, I hate to say this, but it's true, a different kind of love. This is a love that's an angry, vicious love. But they can't part from each other. They have to be in touch. They have to have a way of getting to each other, even if it's this cruel and angry.
Okay, but it's not just that. I want to follow up on something. I think. Oh wait, Paul. I was going to go to you. Go ahead.
Nancy, the thing about this is this falls into a category that is very very special and unique, and that's mutual combatants. Neither one of these individuals are afraid of each other, and it's very clear that they're not. And that's a rare instance in domestic violence cases. But in this case, neither one is backing down or wants to be removed or is seeking to go into a shelter.
Rare. Paul, will you finish your sentence? What?
They're both committing aggravated assaults with each other, things that are, you know, felony crimes, cutting each other's finger, you know, grabbing each other, throwing each other around. It's high in lethality, yet neither seem to be the aggressor, and neither seems to be just the victim. They're both equally in this together.
What were you saying, Karen Stark?
I was saying that it's not rare. That's just what we were talking about before, Nancy. Hmm. That this is what happens. They keep going at it. They can't be without each other.
Exactly.
They need to just keep introducing new stuff. And you did this and you did that. They're still fighting. It's something that you could have people pay admission to.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Rebecca Rosenberg from Fox News Digital brought up I think a very interesting point about Amber Heard. Take a listen now to Our Cut 95, our friends at crimeonline.com.
The newly unsealed documents show that when Heard and Depp were going through their divorce proceedings in 2016, Heard could have claimed half of Depp's income from his Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell No Tales movie. The movie was filmed while Heard and Depp were still married, making his $33 million paycheck a community property asset. Heard could have asked for half that. The court documents show that Heard's lawyer begged the actress to reconsider her decision to walk away and reportedly told her via email that she was being amazingly true to your word, that this is not about money. The judge in the defamation trial rejected the inclusion of this information and all evidence related to their divorce proceedings. Heard's team claimed in pretrial documents that the actress suffered financial losses in the $47 to $50 million range over a 3 to 5 year period because of Depp's defamatory statements against her.
To Rebecca Rosenberg, joining us from Fox News Digital. Okay, there was a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo thrown into that, but my takeaway is Amber Heard, during the divorce, turned down millions of dollars, which under the law could have been hers because Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
I mean, that's what her lawyers say, but at the end of the day, I think that argument is very much weakened by the fact she took $7 million. She still took $7 million, which is a huge sum of money. And that was a huge sum of money for her. And they were only together for about a year. I mean, they split up after a year. And the divorce was finalized a little bit later.
Well, somebody kicked me in the head, I'd want $7 million too. But that's just me.
Exactly.
Of course, I don't think I would cut off anybody's finger, but I don't know. So, but did she turn down the money that may have been due her because they were together while he did the last Pirate of the Caribbean? And in California, that would go into the community property pot.
According to her lawyers, yes. I am not an expert on this topic, so I can't say if that's an accurate representation.
Okay. Daryl Cohen, we don't know. Rebecca's correct. We don't know everything surrounding this, but we know that is her lawyer's claim. Could you explain in a nutshell what that means by community property?
It means
whoever bought it, it doesn't matter. We're married, and as a result of that, both of us own an equal share, meaning each of us owns half of it, but there's no way to tell which half I own or which half you own. It's ours, and it's ours together. That's the way it works.
You know what this makes me think of? Paul Zeick and Karen Stark, everybody jump in. I've seen it on so many levels when I have prosecuted domestic assault, domestic aggravated assault, domestic homicide. When you're in a heated battle regarding divorce, people would get down to arguing about pots and pans and plants and furniture. And I mean ratty furniture. I don't mean some $20,000 sofa. I mean ratty furniture. A potted plant. Pots and pans. They nearly come to blows. Go ahead, Paul.
It's because they want to destroy the other person, and it's not about resolution. It's about revenge. And if you're negotiating from that angle, you're willing to do anything. And that's why so many of these situations turn to homicide and have devastating effects for years to come. And you know, it's even a bigger tragedy when you look at this playing out on a national stage or even global stage. You know, people start to look at this as somewhat normal, and it isn't, and it never should be.
Speaking of their potential futures on the big screen, take a listen to our friends at Crime Online.
Johnny Depp spotted traveling to France for his next big movie. Even though Depp was fired from the Fantastic Beasts franchise and his last film work was in a movie called Minimata that debuted on Hulu last month, Depp is going to play Louis XV in a movie called Jeanne du Barry. Early rumors that Netflix was financing the movie turned out to only be partly true. Netflix France has agreed to stream the movie once it's done. The film is slated to debut sometime in late 2023.
Okay, so we know Depp, is headed for the big screen. But is it true, Rebecca Rosenberg, that Amber Heard already has two movies lined up in the pipeline following the jury verdict? Now, I think one of them regards something called In the Fire. It's an upcoming movie. It's set in the 1800s where she travels to a remote plantation to deal with a little boy with, quote, special abilities. That's number one. And there's another one. Run Away With Me. Now, I'm not sure those were filmed before the trial, if they're wrapping up now, but those are two movies in which she is starring.
Yeah, I believe so. I don't remember the exact details, but it did come up a little bit at trial. And these were movies that she's like making nothing for. One of them, I think she was getting like 90 grand for.
Oh, whoa. Hold on, little girl. 90 grand is a lot of money to us regular people, but okay, go ahead. 90 grand.
I shouldn't have thrown out that number because I don't actually remember, but it was for an actress who, I mean, she got $2 million for Aquaman.
Yeah.
You know, I think one was like an independent film. So she's not getting signed up by any big movie studio at this point and hasn't been for several years. And that was one of her claims during the trial and one of the allegations in her countersuit was that everything that Depp did and the way he smeared her reputation through his attorney, Adam Waldman, has resulted in losing out on major movie deals.
We also know that Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, in which she is starring, is set for release in March of 2023. So that's something. I'm sure
she's not starring in it.
Is she in it at all?
She's in it, but I believe she claimed her role was reduced. The studio said it wasn't, but whatever role she has is very, very minor. I think I read in one report it was 10 minutes of screen time.
See, to me, that means you're starring, because if you're in a major motion picture and your face is up there, okay, you're a star. But see, I'm just a trial lawyer. So whenever I see anybody in a movie, I think they're a star. You know what? Daryl Cohen joining me, former prosecutor, but also active, representing various people in the movie and entertainment business. Daryl, what about it? Because, see, I believe that after a period, I mean, look, even Woody Allen, for Pete's sake, made another movie, and he married his stepdaughter. So, long story short, do you think after a period of time, Amber Heard will make it big again?
With without any doubt, I think she will make it big, whether it's big again, there's an argument either way, but I think she will get role after role because all Hollywood cares about and all the American public cares about, I want to see what's going on. They may say soap operas are done. They're not. This is a continuing saga of the soap, and it's not clean soap between Amber.
Well, I got to tell you this. After the incident with Woody Allen, I never watched another Woody Allen movie. And I loved his work. I got to know one of his children. No, I believe the claims against him. Oh, but hey, you heard it here. It looks like Johnny Depp is going to star in the Beetlejuice sequel. That's going to be big. I predict that Amber Heard will make it back onto the big screen. But all that aside, what we're searching for is the truth. And sadly today, we got more of the truth than we bargained for. Johnny Depp v. Amber Heard, round 3. Goodbye, friend.